Good morning, everybody. Welcome to UCC Waupun, Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, whether in these pews or online, whether today or throughout the week. We are really excited that you are with us today on this chilly Sunday in October. And also, today is a special Sunday in my own heart, in my own spirit, and I'm really excited to share it with you. This is Access Sunday and also Disabilities Awareness Week. You might remember that I am on a subcommittee of the National United Church of Christ Disabilities Ministries Board. And this Sunday is a Sunday where around the United Church of Christ, churches around the United Church of Christ are celebrating disability awareness, and my friends and I have put together the entire liturgy for today, and we also have an original song that I'll be sharing more about later before we listen to it, and it's a reminder that one in four people in the United States, approximately, live with a disability, and the rest will likely develop one later in life, and that can be a physical disability, that can be a mental health concern, that can be an intellectual disability, a learning disability. There are so many different ways that disability can take form. And we recognize the gifts that people with disabilities bring to our worship spaces and our community life, and also the harm that churches and society at large has done to disabled folks, and what the church can do better. So all of that is kind of the focus of today's worship. One announcement that I have is that I'm going to be out of the office tomorrow morning because my dental insurance plan does not cover anything here. So I have to go all the way back to Nina just to get my teeth cleaned. So I'm going to be doing that tomorrow morning. But as always, you can give me a call or a text or an email if you need anything. So that's what I know. Anybody else? The flowers on the altar this morning are given in memory of Keith and Carla Woyon's granddaughters, Aria and Alia. Yesterday was the fifth anniversary of their tragic death from a domestic violence issue. And we remember the Woyons and Alia and Aria with love and with care on this sensitive anniversary. We have a mission moment, but before that, are there any announcements that anybody needs to share? Okay, then Sue Wiggins from the Mission Committee is going to introduce Randy Bentley, our Missions Moment leader today.
Good morning. Our fourth quarter mission is going to go to Sleep in Heavenly Peace. And Randy Bentley, I get the privilege of introducing him. I'm sure many of you know him. He's the project manager for the area, and he's going to share information. Thank you.
Thank you. So our group is called Sleep in Heavenly Peace. It's a national organization with 400 chapters nationwide. And in Wisconsin, we have 17 chapters. So our chapter that we belong to is actually the Fond du Lac chapter. And my wife, Chris, and I manage the satellite of Waupun, Ripon, Brandon, Rosendale, and like Oakfield. So what we do is we provide free, complete new beds to kids ages 3 to 17. And there's basically, it's a very simple process to get a bed. You know, you don't have to be a parent to apply for a bed. You can be a grandparent. You can refer somebody for a bed. All you have to do is go to our website and answer a couple of questions. How many beds do you want? Are they boys or girls? And it doesn't matter how little money you make, how much money you make, if you need a bed for a kid, we will get you a bed. So what we do as a chapter, we build the beds, because we don't buy them from anywhere. We buy the lumber, and we have 5 weekends out of the year where we build beds. And so then we build them, and they can be a single twin bed or bunk beds. So, you know, they do have a lot of options there as far as, you know, if there's not a lot of room, we can get you bunk beds. And we've had deliveries where we've literally delivered 9 beds to one family. And that was interesting, trying to squeeze 9 beds in a couple of bedrooms. But we do it, and the people are so happy. So we build the beds and build up our inventory. We have storage units in Fond du Lac that we keep the beds in. And for our satellite, we keep everything at our house, some beds and bedding. So we build the beds, store them, and usually we try to get corporate sponsors when we do the builds. Like C.D. Smith is a good sponsor, Grande Cheese, Sargento, and you know, we've got lots of groups. The Lions Club in Waupun here donated, you know, $2,500 about a month ago towards building some beds. And it's just fantastic, the outpouring of, you know, giving that we've had for it. We've never had to buy bedding. So people donate bedding, and everything has to be brand new bedding. Everything we give the kids has to be brand new. We get the questions all the time. Somebody wants to donate a bed, a used bed or a mattress. We have to give completely new things. So when Kohl's has a sale, you know, Chris always buys, you know, things. If she has Kohl's cash or something, you know, pillows, comforters. We have a lot of church groups that make blankets, you know, and bedspreads and things. We just had a church group from Brandon give us 21 beautiful quilts, you know, and what a neat gift, you know, and what a nice thing to be able to give the kids when we, you know, deliver a bed. So basically that's, you know, how we do it. And our chapter, by the end of this month, we, in 3.5 years, will have delivered 954 beds in Fond du Lac County. So that's a huge number, you know, we think. You know, we were kind of shocked that it was that big of a need just in our county. But it's there, and they say that between 3% and 5% of the kids do not have beds, and it's pretty much shown that way in Fond du Lac County. So, and we never run out of applications. You know, we've always got about 20 kids that are needing a bed, you know, every month. So, you know, it works out good. But what we do is we have teams of, you know, core team members that are people that, you know, started the organization or our chapter. And we have 2 people that we pair up with some volunteers that want to go deliver beds. So if anybody's ever interested, just let us know and we'll be glad to take you along. That's our big reward for building the beds and putting in our time, is seeing the kids, how excited they are to get sometimes their first bed. You know, and we see what they've been sleeping on. You know, sometimes, you know, little dog beds, you know, which, you know, a lot of people have for their dogs, and there'll be mattresses on the floor that 4 kids will be sleeping on one mattress, or they'll be sleeping on a mattress with mom and dad on the floor. Chris and I did one delivery in Fond du Lac that the only 3 pieces of furniture they had were the beds that we delivered. And it's like, so you know, we see a lot of that stuff, but, you know, we're so happy to give them those free beds, and believe me, it's wonderful. So, you know, thanks for taking us on for your mission for the last quarter. And I do have some handouts. It's got a QR code on there, and you can just scan that, and it'll take you to our Fond du Lac website, and it'll tell you how you can donate. Bedding, you know, if you donate bedding, if you have a lot of bedding you want to donate, you can just get a hold of Chris or I, and we'll pick it up, or, you know, even if you have it at the church here, we can come pick it up. Monetary donations, it shows on the website how to make those. And Sleep in Heavenly Peace, as a nationwide charity, has a Gold Star rating of like 95%, which is pretty unbelievable for a charity of its size. It's 95 cents out of every dollar goes directly to the kids. So that's pretty impressive. So everything pretty much is volunteer, you know, with Sleep in Heavenly Peace. They do have a few paid people, you know, that help us write grants to get money and do some of the big things. But otherwise, every, you know, position with Sleep in Heavenly Peace is volunteer. So it's a pretty incredible thing. So we're happy to be part of it. So I thank you, and I'll leave some of these on the table in the back there. So if anybody has any questions, you know, just shoot us a message and we'll get back to you. And so thank you.
Thank you, Randy. Yes, very important mission and ministry, and we're just so grateful for the work that you all do, and happy to support it. So let's share the peace of Christ with one another.
If you can comfortably do so, please stand. Randy and Chris, thank you. Until you're involved with a nonprofit that helps the underserved, you just don't realize how great the local need is. Join me in the call to worship. Where are you on life's journey? In our worship, in our singing, in our praying, in our homes, in our online presence, in our daily lives, in all our bodies, in all our minds, in all our experiences, in all existence, in all of time, in the vastness of the cosmos. The opening hymn is number 354, Just As I Am.
Thank you.
Join me in the opening prayer. Disabled God, we come to you today searching for an experience of hope and belonging. You'll hold each of our body minds in sacred love and connection. When the world around us tries to cast us out, we find belonging and belovedness in your embrace. As we worship this day, may we remember that our search for you will deepen our faith and lead us one step closer to your kingdom. We pray with confidence in your work within us, among us, around us, and through us. Amen.
Now comes the time for any of our young worshipers who are with us today to come and join Becky and I for a special activity.
All right. You guys
have
coming?
A good time.
We got a bunch of you today.
Woohoo!
Awesome. Holy man. We're going to go up on the top of the step here. We're going to kind of surround the backpack behind you guys. Okay? We're going to put that there. All right, you can turn and kind of face me today, okay? Yeah, there we go. Face me. Yeah. Well, today is Disability Awareness Day or Disability Awareness Week or month, you could say. And people with disabilities, really, my message is they just do things differently, okay? They just do things differently than you and I. For example, people who can't hear very well, they usually have a hard time speaking. So what do deaf people sometimes do to speak? Do you know what they do?
What do they do? Sign language.
Say it again.
Sign language.
Yeah, they use sign language. They use their hands and their facial expressions to get the message to you and I, right? But they still speak. They just speak differently, right? Well, and here's another example. I have a sister who's visually impaired. She struggles with seeing, so she can't drive a car. And playing catch is horrible. She's not good at playing catch because she can't see the ball till it's almost going to hit her in the nose, right? Well, when we read, you and I hold the book right about here. When my sister reads, she holds it like this. Kind of funny, huh? But we both read, we just read differently. Okay? So we're going to try a quick experiment now. I am going to ask each of you, who can put this backpack on? Could you stand up and put this backpack on for me? Sure. Just go ahead and put it on both shoulders. Got it. Good job. Okay, can you take it off? All right, who else wants to try? Come on, John. Go ahead, stand up, put the backpack on. Everybody kind of watch how they're putting it on. All right, good deal. Anybody else want to try? All right, Ray. It's not overly heavy. I do have a few books in there. Okay. Oh, it's a little heavy. Wait, can you get the other shoulder on too? Oh, yeah, they all did it all by themselves. Good job. Anyone else? All right, come on up, Ava. You put it on. Oh, you made that look slick and easy. Good job. Blake, you want to try? Ray, you want to try? Oh, you already did. Anybody else? No? Pastor Jacob, you want to try? Okay. Can't help him. We've got to leave it there.
Yep. There are more books in here than you said there were.
Oh. That just shows you how strong the kids are. Well, thank you, Pastor Jacob. So, my question to you guys is, did you all put the backpack on just a little differently? Yeah, Blake's saying yes, some are saying no. I think so. I think you all put it on just a little differently. Okay, did anybody put it on wrong?
No.
No, nobody put it on wrong. Yeah, that's it. We all did the same thing. We just do it differently. So people that live with disabilities don't do anything the wrong way. They simply do it differently. And the bottom line is, people with disabilities just want to be treated like you and I, with love, respect, and kindness. Pastor Jacob, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Absolutely. So as a reminder, I'm going to say a short phrase, and I invite you to repeat it back to me. Dear God, thank you for all the ways we do things. Sometimes we do things differently, but that doesn't mean it's wrong. Help us care for one another, help each other, love each other as you loved us. Amen.
Life. Lord, I know that it's easier for a camel to pass through a needle's eye than for the rich enter the kingdom. But do I remember those whom streets and halls and aisles and church pews are too narrow to navigate? Do I remember those who live full lives without the sight and hearing we assume are necessary? Do I remember those who struggle with memory, unspoken social cues, and sitting still? Do I remember and love and embrace disabled kinfolk? Lord, I confess that I do not always remember or love or embrace, and instead jealousy guard the shallow privilege of a world made for one sort of embodied life over others, never imagining that my abilities may change, and what was once simple will be painful, difficult, and harder so by the same systems that benefit me now. Lord God, we confess. We are aggravated at those who move slowly, so invested in being first that we scorn those who are often struck in last. We are enamored by what is ours, our money, our things, our own peace of mind, our narrative, the ways we do or do not honor our bodies and our truth, at the expense of the peace and truth of the collective body of Christ. When I keep your commandments, I keep them for myself and not you. I kept them for you. If I kept them for you, I wouldn't hold others to a different set of standards than I hold for myself. I confess that I have scorned my kinfolk in Christ for the sake of my own comfort and ease, dismissing those I find annoying, messy, or frustrating as unworthy of full participation in shared life and relationships. For all that we confess, forgive us, O God, and transform me by your boundless grace. Transfer our heart and actions, Holy One, that we may surrender the status afforded to us by my marks of status and privilege, our wealth, our material goods, our able bodies and minds, for the sake of a more just and merciful way of being. Make it so, loving and transforming God, make it so. Amen.
Hear these words of grace. Beloved, this stuff is hard. It's hard to accept disability as part of human life and disabled people as part of the image of God. It's hard to be disabled. It's hard to undo the threads of ableism through institutions, communities, cultures, and systems. It's hard to see a friend or loved one struggling to navigate social services that don't support their thriving and the fullness of their dignity. It's hard to deal with flare-ups and sensory overload and fatigue, and it only gets harder when we do not collectively uplift and accommodate our disabled kinfolk. It's hard to embrace grace and mercy when we recognize that we are complicit in injustice. It's hard to repent and live as if the kingdom of God is come on earth when injustice is baked in our language and infrastructure. But through God, all things are possible. And there is no better aid device than God. Amen.
First scripture reading this morning is Job 23, 1 through 9. Job answered, "Today my complaint is again bitter. My strength is weighed down because of my groaning. Oh, that I could know how to find God, come to God's dwelling place. I would lay out my case before God, fill my mouth with arguments, know the words with which God would answer, understand what God would say to me. Would God contend with me through brute force? No, God would surely listen to me. There are those who do the right thing, can argue with God. I could escape from my judge forever. Look, I go east, God's not there, west, and don't discover God. North in God's activity, and I don't grasp God. God turns south, and I don't see. God has weakened my mind. The Almighty has frightened me. Still, I am not annihilated by darkness. God has hidden, keep deep darkness from me." And then Mark 10, 17 through 31. As Jesus continued down the road, a man ran up, knelt before him, and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to obtain eternal life?" Jesus replied, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except the one God. You know the commandments. Don't commit murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't give false testimony. Don't cheat. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he responded, "I've kept all of these things since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him carefully and loved him. He said, "You are lacking one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor. Then you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." But the man was dismayed at this statement and went away saddened because he had many possessions. Looking around, Jesus said to his disciples, "It will be very hard for the wealthy to enter God's kingdom." His words startled the disciples, so Jesus told them again, "Children, it's difficult to enter God's kingdom. It's easier for a camel to squeeze through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter God's kingdom." They were shocked even more and said to each other, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them carefully and said, "It's impossible with human beings, but not with God. All things are possible for God." Peter said to him, "Look, we've left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "I assure you that anyone who has left house, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, or farms because of me and because of the good news will receive 100 times as much now in this life, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and farms, with harassment, and in the coming age, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." Here end the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. Before I give my sermon, we're going to watch an original song that I had a part in producing. So my friend Becca Anderson, who you might remember, we wrote a song together last year, and we performed together at a regional youth event. She wrote a song, a rocker, a disability rage song about Job, and she asked me to help her with it, and so I helped her with it, and our friend Maggie helped her with it, and my friend Richard helped with it. And so we put this collaboration together with four different musicians from four different U.S. states. Becca lives in Massachusetts, I live here, Maggie lives in California, Richard lives in Iowa, and I had the responsibility of stitching it all together back here in the studio. So this is Patience of Job.
Of Job, I have patience, and just like Job, I'm all fed up, won't take anymore. I did everything the system said to do. I smiled and nodded like they wanted me to. They say it's bad to make a fuss, but it isn't true. I'm all fed up, won't take anymore. You know what I have?
the patience of Job. Yes, I have the patience of Job. I have patience, just like Job. I'm all fed up, won't take anymore.
My health concerns one half of my care. My doctors don't believe half the symptoms I share. I'm a phone 9 to 5 and it isn't fair. I'm all fed up and won't take any more.
The patience of Job, yes, I have the patience of Job. I have patience, and just like Job, I won't get up, won't take any more.
So I'll settle for one that doesn't make me want to cry. But if they pay me what I'm worth, I'll lose my SSI. I'm all fed up and won't take any more.
I have the patience of Job. Yes, I have the patience of Job. I have given just like Job.
I'm all fed up, won't take any more.
Thank you. That was really fun. Friends, will you pray with me? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this hour be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So as my grandma's body got older, she had more health issues that made life difficult in one way or the other. She lived with things like diabetes and restless leg syndrome and high blood pressure, and probably developed some depression later in life. As she aged, she began to take more and more medications. By the end, she must have had 10 or 12 different pills that she took multiple times a day. And it became a family joke that every time she was visiting us, because she came from North Carolina and spent about a month or 6 weeks with us, she would come into our kitchen in our house and she would say, "Anybody want a pill?" Because she probably had enough that she could share with us if we wanted them. And most of the time we'd be like, "No thanks, I'm good." But sometimes we'd play along. We'd say, "What are you taking there, Grandma?" She'd say, "Well, I've got my restless leg pill and my tinkle pill and my high blood pressure pill and this pill and that pill." She'd make jokes about it because, of course, she made jokes about it because she made jokes about everything. But she told me one time about how frustrating and exhausting it all was to think about all the pills that she needed to bring with her for a month plus to come to Wisconsin, and all the doctor's appointments she had to manage, and all the difficulties that made her life what it was. I'm not sure that she would have put herself in the disabled category specifically, but I bring up her story because so many of the things that we acquire at different points in our lives often have a monumental impact on our daily living. Living with a disability can be complicated and frustrating, and society doesn't always take kindly to folks who live a different sort of life than we consider to be normal. So I'm going to talk a lot about the story of Job through a disabled lens. But before I dive in, I'm going to speak for a moment to anybody in here who doesn't live with a disability themselves. And very naturally, might be wondering, what's in this for me? What can I get out of the message today? So I would invite you to approach this text and this message with a spirit of empathy, to think perhaps about the people in your life who live with a disability, whether that is physical or emotional or mental or intellectual or cognitive or a learning disability, you know, all sorts of different ways that this can take form. What are they able to do and what can they find difficult? What social norms are they able to access and how are they perceived in society? I'm going to reflect on Job's frustration and Job's trust in God. And then I'm going to speak about how the rest of us can be good neighbors as we do our best to care for one another. Eventually, I want to do a full Bible study on the book of Job because I find it really fascinating. And it's like a 35-chapter book, so it's a lot to digest. But I'll give you just a brief little outline of the story of Job. So basically, we are told right away that Job is an upright and blameless man. I think that that's almost exactly word for word what some translations say. And somewhere up in the clouds, God and the Satan, who you might hear that and you're like, oh yeah, Satan, the devil. That's a little bit of a simplistic thing, but we'll go with that for now. So God and the devil are up there in the clouds somewhere having court, and the devil basically says to God, you know, God, I don't think that Job would be as trusting in you and as faithful to you if you didn't reward him. And he said, I bet if I took everything away from him that he would not want to follow you. And God's like, all right, I'll bite. Just don't kill him. So the devil inflicts really horrible pain on Job. Takes his family, takes his house, literally everything. And Job is really, you know, gets really upset. Every time he still says that he trusts God, but still he asks really difficult questions, which is part of what today's text is saying. He's wondering whether God is present in his suffering. In verse 16, he says, God has weakened my mind. The Almighty has frightened me. And the book of Job is one of the commonly cited examples of what we theologians call theodicy, asking theological questions about why bad things happen to good people. You know, what did somebody who God has already said is blameless and trustworthy do to deserve such pain? And this is often how people with disabilities feel. In the song we just heard, you heard many concrete examples of how society has failed disabled people by inflicting social humiliation, financial hardship, and employment opportunities that are limited. And so on. We didn't do anything to deserve that treatment. But instead, the legal system, along with social norms in general, have created a society which is deliberately built for the exclusion of one in four people. There's a lot to be frustrated about, and I and many of my disability ministry colleagues resonate very deeply with Job's frustration. But the beautiful thing about this text for me, the glimmer of hope, is that Job says at the very end of our passage, he says, still, I'm not annihilated by darkness. God has hidden deep darkness from me. There's a reminder that even though Job can't necessarily experience God, he believes that somewhere, somehow, God must be with him. Finding grace in this text requires believing that God can handle our pain, our anger, and our big feelings. It is holy work to lament in times of suffering. And this is what Job teaches us to do. Job teaches us to trust God, to trust in God's activity, and to trust that God does not hide from our pain. So what are we supposed to take from this here at UCC Waupun? What do I want you to leave with today? This is the point, friends. As we work to love our neighbors, God calls us to be honest with our emotions, to be empathetic to the struggles of others, and to trust in God. In times of suffering, in situations of both lifelong and newly acquired disabilities, or other challenges, we have so many challenges, God remains with us. God's activity is apparent whether we perceive it or not. Now, you've proven that to be true as a congregation. The usable portion of this building is pretty accessible. But beyond that, you have embraced me in so many ways as your pastor, and you've offered many different accommodations for me to be able to do the work that I do with and among you. And one of the other things is that the Congregational Care Committee provides transportation and other things for people and on their way to medical appointments and things like that. And one of the perks of living with a disability, if you can call it that, is that I have seen multiple examples of people caring for one another that other people in society might ignore. You know, this church is so able to love our neighbors. And I give great thanks for all of that. But far from just patting ourselves on the back, may you remember that loving your neighbor means continued dedication and commitment to the work of caring for one another. How can we recognize somebody's frustration over societal barriers and then help them navigate those barriers? How can we continually practice our empathy and our compassion so that everybody has what they need? Thanks be to God for this congregation and for the ways that you work together to show love to your neighbors. And thanks be to God for all the ways that I know you will continue to do so, supporting one another even when times are hard. Amen. So now we transition into a time of more intentional prayer. Let's take a moment of silence for the people and situations that need our prayers and our love today. Receive the prayers of our hearts, O God. Amen. I have a number of prayer requests that I have been asked to share. And as usual, I will say, God, on your mercy, after offering an intercession, and then invite you, if you like, to respond, receive our prayer. So Becky Smith this morning let me know that her sister Michelle is having some medical tests done on Friday. So for Michelle and for her medical team, God in your mercy. Of course, for the communities affected by Helene and Milton, you know, natural disasters, God in your mercy. For the justice that has been done, for the injustice that still needs to be reconciled with people with disabilities, with people who are discriminated every day, God in your mercy. For all who are grieving, for all who are grieving losses, for all who are grieving their loved ones, for all who are grieving loss of jobs, loss of security in many ways, for those who are grieving loss of homes and you know steady living situations in the face of tragedy. God in your mercy. I think that's all I've got. What other prayers do we bring today? Yes, Tracy.
My brother Rick was diagnosed with cancer on July 22nd, and he is undergoing surgery to remove that hopefully tomorrow.
Wow. For Rick, for his medical team, that they may indeed remove that cancer. God in your mercy. What else today? Anything on Zoom?
No.
Okay. Then let us be in a time of prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you gather us together, that you remind us that we are connected to each other, that we are interdependent, that we are community. We give you thanks for the ways that we support one another and partner with you in breaking down the barriers of inaccessibility. We ask you to continue to empower us to do that, because there are so many people in need of access and dignity and love. We also ask you to be with all of those we have named, whether with our lips or in our hearts. We remember specifically Michelle, those who grieve, those who are affected by natural disasters, and all of those who work against discriminating forces, ableism, racism, sexism, gender inequality, those who are discriminated for sexual orientation, those who are experiencing homelessness, poverty, food insecurity, and discrimination in all of its forms. In the name of your Son, Jesus, who tore down walls, who flipped over tables, and who told us who is worthy of God's, of your love. We pray as Jesus himself has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. You may give through sharing your gift in the offering plate as it's being passed around. You may also give online at uccwaupun.net. But however you give, may you give generously as your heart and spirit invite you to do so. Please join me in the prayer of dedication. Giver of all gifts, we know that we are called to give up what we have and follow you. We are called to live in such a way that everyone has enough. When we find ourselves with more than what we need, call us to give. When we find ourselves than less than what we need, and may our gifts of time, talent, treasure, and prayer be always used to care for your people. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 581, called As Partners in Christ's Service. We'll be singing verses 1, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
My friends, receive these words of benediction. Go out into God's world, being aware of all body minds. Remember that access is an ongoing opportunity in spaces, attitudes, groups, and conversations. God is reflected in all body minds as we celebrate that every Sunday is Access Sunday. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve. Amen.
Thank you.